You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to the second episode of the Pelton Cast Chef Series. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
I'm Tristan Carcina.
And we are thrilled to welcome Monica Demas, the chef behind Little Neon Taco, Sunset Fried Chicken, Westman's Bagel and Coffee, and more. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We wanted to time this, I should say, around Lil Woody's Seattle Burger Month and the neon torta entry in that. How did you sort of get connected with Lil Woody's to do this?
I mean, I've known Marcus for a long time and, you know, just, of, you know, restaurant scene people. And so I mean, I've always really liked that program that they do. I think it's really awesome. And just to showcase, you know, some of the chefs around town. So yeah, they just asked and I was like, yeah, let's do it. So my original choice that I'd kind of gone with, or that I was going to go with, was actually a chorizo burger, but one of the other chefs, Ricardo, had already chosen that. So I was like, okay. So then I was like, you know what? Like, after all of these burgers, like, I kind of just want to eat a torta. So I decided to go with that just to sort of think a little. And while we do have a torta here at Neon, I decided to go with the Condesa style that like we had there. So it had like the sauteed onions and jalapenos and then the avo mayo instead of actual avocado. And a couple of just little differences. So I feel like overall, like the reaction or the sort of response to the torta has been really positive. So it's been great. And also the bread we make in house and was sort of like this big project that everybody took on. And I'm very particular. So when it comes to certain things, and so when I had that actually the first time on with like the ground beef set, I don't know if you're familiar with Condesa, but we had this this torta there called the Montana. So we had it. So I made it as a Montana, and both my cooks, the cooks and I, were in the kitchen. We're just like, oh, this is delicious. Like it was just like we just finally felt like we nailed that bread, and it felt really good to get there. I thought for a while my bakers were just like, oh man, she's impossible. But I just really wanted that torta bread to be. I don't know. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and like a lot of the concepts I do, it's like, they're sort of, you know, very comfort driven food, but with a more like modern twist to it. So same thing with that, where it's like, you know, you can go to most Mexican bakeries and fortunately they use like a mix, which was bothersome when I found that out, with our local bakery that we had been using before. And so I think was really what sort of turned the corner for us wanting to, you know, make our own bread. So
yeah.
So I mean, I like it. I hope people like it.
Yeah, it was great. We had it earlier this week.
Oh, awesome.
I love having unique things as part of the Burger Month in particular. Mm-hmm. And it's something without Condesa as an option right now,
right,
for a while, where it's like, this is a throwback. This is the first time to have Tortas Condesa in a year plus.
Yeah. And I think there was a lot of people who recognized that, because I mean, people know that we have the tortas here, but at Neon, but it still felt like people recognized the difference, and it was really fun and really cool. Because it's like, you know, I guess it's like, you kind of have to put up a little bit of a wall with like what is going on in review land. Most of the times you're just like, I mean, there's so many awful things you could read about anything you're doing that's just like, you forget to like check in with people who actually like your spaces. And when they're like, no, we love this. I'm like, Oh, you do. I feel like, what is it? Like Sally Field, when she like wins an Academy, she's like, you like me? Just yeah. Like, oh yeah. So it feels, it was nice to sort of have that, recognize that it was a throwback to that.
I wonder if it was the first ever Lil Woody's Burger of the Week torta. If it was the first ever torta that they'd had as a Lil Woody's Burger of the Week, I feel like it had to be, right?
I think so. I mean, I've seen like the oyster burgers and I've seen like a few, you know, chicken sandwiches. So yeah, I mean, when I went back through some of the years that they had done that, I was like, oh yeah. And then it was funny because one of the people from Little Witties mentioned that like a fan favorite was actually the burger from the chef from Canlis. And it was just a really simple burger. And when they had made the burger, he was thinking it was just like, oh, it was too simple. But then it's such a hit because they used such great ingredients with that. And yeah, I think it was a little bit of a surprise for everybody. And I mean, I love a good classic burger. So for me, that was like, that was legit. But it was just fun to kind of do something different than what had already been done Absolutely. Before. And I felt a little contrarian about it, but.
Our claim to fame was that when we did a Lil Woody's Burger Month, we had them get Rainier Tall Boys for the first time ever. They only had 12 ounce Rainiers. And it was like, on account of us, they have Rainier Tall Boys now.
Shocking. I feel like I'm shocked by that because they should just have Tall Boys.
That's what we said. We were like, yeah, and you get this and a Rainier Tall Boy and it's whatever. That's the special. Yeah. And they were like, we don't have Rainier Tall Boys. And it's like, that's going to need to change. That's like
quintessential Seattle beer. Like, I don't know. That's funny. Well, good on you because they should have that.
We're trying to do our part. Now, you kind of had connections, it feels like, with a couple of the other chefs in Seattle Burger.
Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned Ricardo, who happened to follow Neon Taco at Nacho Barracho, and then also Daisley Gordon, who you worked under previously.
Yeah. So actually what brought me to Seattle was Campagna. So the fine dining room that is no longer RIP. But Daisley, I stodged with Daisley and was like, this is the spot. So I worked there for over 2 years and, you know, moved on to kind of explore the city a little bit more. But so he's like the reason I moved here. I explored, you know, moving here or Portland, and I just felt like the sort of like at the time, the seriousness that Seattle was taking in regards to their food was stronger here. And I didn't really feel that necessarily with Portland at the time. I mean, this is like, you know, 2005 or something. And so it was great. And then I've met Ricardo before, and it was great to like see another, you know, like Mexican POC person to take that, you know, the Neon Taco nacho space over after. That was pretty great. It was just like, it's so, you know, like the Condesa spot was sort of like already a legacy spot. I don't know if you guys remember the taco spot that was there initially forever ago. Yeah.
I remember Kadaimacon, but.
Or Kadaimacon.
Yeah.
It was the Taco Boys or the Taco Brother. I don't remember. I actually worked with them at Campania, but they went on to do that. And then it was Kadai and then Condesa. So it's like, it's fun to sort of create these sort of like little mini legacy spots, I guess, which just like that create like, or that are bringing better food to what would generally just be a dive bar, you know? So it's great to see that. And then the Spice Wallet people, we connected after and they just seemed so rad. You know, it's just like super good energy. And I feel like after being in the industry for so long, you sometimes like lose that sort of like excitement. That it was great to see that alive and well with them, you know?
Well, I mean, it's a tough industry in the best of circumstances. And the past year here has obviously been far from the best of circumstances with the pandemic. What have things been like for you as a restaurant owner operator during that period?
It's been so wild. I feel like after spending so many years in the industry, I've only worked in this industry from the time I was 18 until now. And so at this point, it's been like, actually half my life, which is pretty wild. But it's like, I felt like at one, you know, like you do something for so long, you become so comfortable in it that you feel like you can predict what's going to happen next. And I felt like that was not the case. I just felt like I just didn't know what to do next. Or I didn't know what was going to happen next because it was so unpredictable overall. And just, it was just like, you know, my only sports analogy is like, it was a total curveball at every, like, it just felt like I couldn't even think of what was going to happen the next week. Cause it was just wild. So once the pandemic hit, Sunset had relocated to inside of Queer Bar. And so we shut that down. The Sunset at the airport was was supposed to open at one point, but that also just is in total, you know, hibernation mode at this point. And then with Westman's, I think because it was already just sort of set up in a very easy grab and go situation, it's been fine. So it's been very steady and super fortunate that it's done, you know, it's held on in its own way. And like, we haven't had to worry about it. Little Neon, because we are in a spot that has a lot of like office people from, you know, health workers or whatever. And then at night we had become such a destination spot that it was like black and white if to see that change. So I remember I went home on the Sunday after like we just kind of noticed there was like a massive change happening. So I went home on Sunday and with one of my operations people, and we just put our heads down and built a to-go website. And we were like, I guess this is just what we're doing now. And kept all of our employees on by, you know, having them deliver and do whatever we could. And it worked. And we haven't reopened indoors, and we do have a little patio, but it's just like, what's going to happen next is, I think at this point, really like up to, you know, I'm not really sure. And I'm not suggesting we reopen. I mean, we aren't reopening anytime soon until we feel like it's safe. So yeah, it just feels like it's just been so unpredictable overall. It's just, I don't know. I wish I could have like the same sort of like ability to understand the industry as it were in, you know, 2019. But I mean, yeah, I just don't know.
And so you've been able to keep on most of your employees through that time period?
Yes. Yeah. Westman's, because I mean, there hasn't really been a whole lot of change in our numbers there. Sunset, we did furlough two people, and then they were hired back after when Queer Bar reopened with their own food program. I just felt like at that point, I just was pretty exhausted. I felt like I just couldn't do another round. And then the operations person there came on with us here at Neon and just sort of floated within the company and at Westman's, and then went back to Queer Bar to spearhead their food program afterwards. So mostly, yes, I would say that like with even at Neon, I think we only really lost two people during that time, during, you know, all of this. And so it's been solid. My staff has just been, I mean, so great and understanding and just wonderful.
That's awesome. And that's huge during this time period where there are so many businesses, especially in the restaurant field, that have laid off everybody, you know, or just kind of put their head in the sand.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, you know, I just try to do the, you know, the most, right? It's like, this is all I've ever done. And it's like, I don't want it to go away anytime soon. So it's just like, I'm just going to do everything possible to keep us open, and hopefully they're the right decisions. But at this point, I'm just like, I'm still not even sure because we're still in the thick of it.
Totally. As somebody who has worked in a kind of multiple different places with regards to food, right, between tacos and bagels and chicken, you know, what kind of role do you think that a restaurant can have? And is this different based upon the type of food that you're serving within creating community around the location?
Yeah, so that's generally been the sort of like the biggest question that I have whenever I'm doing something new. I mean, the first one is, what do I want to eat? What do I feel like I want to do that I'm going to keep going back to? I mean, I've had people ask me if I'm tired of tacos. I'm like, I've literally been eating them my entire life. No, like I'm not tired of tacos. And I actually just had one a few minutes ago. And so I'm just like, no.
I'm tired of tacos. Yeah, are you tired of air?
Weird. But like, and I was like, no, I still love them. And I think it's just that like, I want to, you know, create food. Like I miss Sunset so much. It's like, yeah, so much. And it's because it's just like, it's food I crave. It's food I want. When I was opening Westman's, that space was, you know, became available, and I really wanted to do a sort of like, you know, my own sort of like, this is going to sound so corny, but bear with me, but it was just sort of like my ode to New York mornings, where it's like when I'd spend a lot of time there, and it just felt like I love that sort of being able to walk to a spot and just pick up some food and go on with your day without it like being a whole thing. And I mean, just like going to any sort of bodega spot that was like, you know, your BEC and then, you know, salt, pepper, ketchup or whatever options. And you're just like, they're always kind of crappy and great and love it. And just, it just really hit. And so that, and so the second part of just like, whenever I think about something I'm doing is just like, how is it going to fit into the community? What is it doing? Is it, you know, like, am I adding to the conversation about this neighborhood, or am I just like, and there's sort of just more noise? You know, I think that we see a lot of like terrible looking buildings popping up all over Seattle. And I always think about like, where is a space for something interesting in that building? Did they make space to actually sort of create a sort of dynamic neighborhood? Or, I mean, you just don't see things like Westman Space anywhere. I mean, it's tiny and it's like, you know, part of a garage, but I think it just adds something really like a major sort of flavor to that neighborhood. Being up in First Hill was already sort of major, since it was a departure from, you know, just being on the hill on Capitol Hill. But the neighborhood just felt like it's very dense in terms of population. And so it just felt like there was a need for something to be a cornerstone spot here. And there's like the big pizza spot on the corner, or like pizza size wise, they're huge. There's a Hideout and Vito's. There's like just very like old school spots. And it felt great to like go into a neighborhood that already really was about like its places and it's doing that. And Sunset was just, you know, like it was part of the RGB brand and initially. And when we moved it like to Queer Bar, it was great to explore that sort of different community that like the nightlife community that was like super supportive as well and has always been really supportive of, you know, I mean, like for me, like Neon Taco first opened, it was like, you know, it could have been anything. Could have just been like more bad tacos, which I'm sure, you know, we've ate plenty of in a bar and just shrugged them off. So I think it was just great to be accepted in that way. And I think that has always just been part of the sort of bigger ethos and, you know, running conversation for myself.
So go back to Sunset for a second. So obviously, as you said earlier, you don't know the future. None of us do. But is the plan to reopen at Queer Bar?
No, I don't know what we're doing with that. Yeah, I feel like there's still a life there. Like there's still more life there, rather. But I just don't know what that looks like. I feel like there's, you know, still some stuff I'm working on right now for, you know, expansion stuff. But Sunset's kind of on the back burner for me right now. I feel like I need to, once I can get back to that and maybe sort of like, once the Sunset at the airport comes out of hibernation, I might have a little bit more of like a push to want to, or, you know, to get around to thinking about it. But it was, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I miss it. Like I miss that menu as a whole. My body and my, you know, like working out probably doesn't miss it. Fine.
Is that hibernation at the airport, is that sort of related toward to traffic getting back to normal there?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just, I think that like a lot of us who were working on projects at the airport are all just kind of like waiting to see what's next with everything there. It's just, it's been pretty quiet. I mean, it's a licensed, you know, it's licensed to a company there. And so I'm almost just like, I don't even want to know what's happening right now. Like, it's a little bit like, that's where I kind of buried my head a little bit in the sand, where it's like, I want to come back to this when I have that sort of headspace to actually think about this and see what's happening. It's all just so much.
Yeah, it totally makes sense.
Can we ask you some chicken questions now? Because this is a hotly debated item, is does fried chicken have to have bones?
Okay, so I don't want to hear anything about a chicken wing that doesn't have bones.
Okay.
That's like a chicken nugget mm-hmm. or whatever, tender or strip. But if it has bones, I feel like it shouldn't be, and it's like, they're two different things. I feel like I'm about to get fired up here.
No, ready for it.
But I'm like, okay, so anything that has a bone with chicken, it's like anything that has a bone anyway, but like shouldn't be anywhere near a sandwich where you're like expecting to just be able to eat the whole thing, right? So it's like the chicken sandwich and the fried chicken are two different situations. And I feel like I'm not generally going to go like to a fried chicken spot to eat a fried chicken sandwich, then vice versa. Like, I want a chicken sandwich spot that's a chicken sandwich spot. And then, you know, I don't know. I think that's my hot take. Like,
can a chicken sandwich be Seattle's best fried chicken?
I'm going to go with no.
What about chicken strips, though? Can they be Seattle's best fried chicken?
I don't like an option though. Like, I'm not going there to order strips. Okay. But can a chicken sandwich be the best sandwich? Yes. But I don't feel like fried chicken sandwich can be the best fried chicken. Like, yeah, no. I feel like they're just two different apples, oranges, apples, Gala apples. I don't know.
You've settled on the same thing that we okay. have, that a chicken sandwich is in. For a search for Seattle's best fried chicken, yeah. But was eligible for a search for Seattle's best sandwich.
There was a fried chicken sandwich like article that came out a while ago that named this like particular chicken sandwich spot. This is when Sunset was still open, and I went there and I was like, it's not it, and I just felt like it was like, I was like, wait, are we still in the same realm of what we consider a chicken sandwich, like a fried chicken? It just felt like I didn't want it afterwards. Like, I didn't even want to finish it. And I don't know. And it's also like, maybe it's because like my chicken sandwich is more like a Southern style chicken sandwich. And this felt more of like, it wasn't pink. It almost felt like almost like a beer battered fried chicken. It was just kind of weird. And I was like, how did this become the best fried chicken sandwich? I didn't get it. I was like, I need more information here. And it felt very flat in terms of like flavor. I was like, I want acid. I want like something to like break up the sort of like richness of this chicken sandwich. And I was like, I mean, visually it was like, oh yeah, okay, cool. Like, it's like weirdly big and whatever, but I didn't agree with it. It actually kind of like pissed me off because I was like, this is not, it ain't it. And I was, yeah.
All right, well, should that transition us into talking about your favorite Seattle foods and obviously present company excluded here. Do you have a favorite chicken sandwich?
No. Okay. I think that because I mean, I'm not going to go into why I don't like the ones that are here in town. I haven't had one... because I feel like, you know, the ones that I think should be good, I end up feeling like they're too greasy. And then the ones that like are legit good overall, like just have like a certain thing to it. Like, I don't want sweet things on my fried chicken, you know, like I want like sour, I want to break up. I just like don't need more richness. And I feel like when something is sweet, like a sweet pickle or something, like, I get it, but it just doesn't translate to a chicken sandwich. And I'm, you know, like trying to remember if like maybe I'm just, or rather misremembering other chicken sandwiches. So I don't, yeah. I'm just thinking of two in particular.
We're going to ask you offline what those are. No.
Yeah. And then like, the, you know, the other one that, you know, in that list of like the best chicken sandwich or that article, it was like, I think a few years ago. So clearly it's been, and it's annoyed me that much, but like that chicken sandwich that they considered the best one, I was like, I'm not even going to think about it because it just, it, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What about fried chicken in general?
I like Maiona. I think Maiona's fried chicken is the best. I think it's like really solid. I think it's done really well. I think they've done a really solid job with that. And then on top of it, it doesn't feel greasy. The one thing that like, think about like why KFC works, right? It's just like, you don't feel like you're like biting into like this oil filled piece of chicken. And so I feel like they've really nailed it. Really nailed it.
All right, you mentioned, I can't remember, this was before we started talking and where we were talking beforehand or once we started recording, but that you've been on a burger kick lately. So Seattle's best burger.
So I grew up in Yakima, which I think maybe it's like I always joke that Eastern Washington is the Midwest of the Northwest. And because of my other Midwestern or my Midwestern friends have this like big like thing for burgers, but Yakima just had like a huge assortment of burgers. It was just like, I don't know how I grew up in like this pile of delicious burgers everywhere. But so whenever I feel kind of like stressed out or even like I'll bake or something, and then I just want burgers. Like I'll just like, I just want to eat all the burgers. And it's like a very comforting thing to me. I differentiate between like two different kinds of burgers, right? You have like a restaurant burger, which is like, like the Quinn's burger back in the day was just like, oh, that was, it was very like gastro, you know, forward and whatever. It was delicious. Or like the Look Bat burger, which I still think might be the best burger, RIP, in Seattle, forever and ever. But that was, it just nailed it. But then there's what I consider the flat burger, which is the little burger or whatever, but they're just kind of like they're flat. It's like what you would get at McDonald's or something, which no, thank you. But it's just like, it's a little burger and it's like a little like bar burger, whatever, just like a super whatever. There's a few that I really like. One of them is the Bait Shop burger. It's sort of like their take on the Big Mac. It's perfect. It's a perfect burger and they use a really good meat and it just like, it just hits all the things. But I just recently had a burger that I think I might like better. And buddy who owns Bait Shop, it was perfect. I actually ended up getting more because I was like, I need another one. And it was the little burgers, like whatever, just like basic burger, Super Six or something. No, it was like, I'll have to come back to the name. It's just like a little spot, down in Burien. And I think they have one in Georgetown and it's like a brewery or a beer spot.
Loretta's?
No. We'll go to Loretta's, but No, it's like, I'll have to look it up, but it's just like a little like Super Racer or.
Oh yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. What is the name of that place?
I mean, it was so random that I stopped by. I was in Burien picking up a table from a vintage furniture dealer down there. And I like drove by and I was like, that's fine. You know, I don't know. I thought it kind of looked familiar, like the name did. So I was like, well, I'll just swing by and grab a bite to eat on my way back. And I was with a friend and we both were just ordered a turkey club or a chicken, turkey club. And then the little burger. And also I have major thoughts on fries and had a couple of the fries. We're like, okay. And then get into this burger. We had just sliced it down the middle. And we both were like, we need another one right now. And didn't even get to the turkey sandwich because I was like, oh yeah, this is just not happening. Like this burger is legit. And I posted about it and I got so much feedback about like, wait a minute. Like, cause I was like, this burger might be better than the Loretta's burger. And I thought like I had just threw like, you know, a drink in everybody's face. And I mean, it was just like a contentious take. Hot take, but so I actually went to Loretta's after like a few days after, because I was like, I just actually need to, am I not thinking straight? Like, was that burger that good? And I had the Loretta's burger and I was like, this is good. But what made that burger better was that they definitely just like seared the outside, like almost like a, you know, smash style burger. Like it was, but not like super spread out like meat. But it still had like a little bit of a crust. And then it had like that super cheesy, like melty American cheese. But then it had like the same thing as like Loretta's, when you into like, the sauce is really like, what ties it all together. But this burger also had like lettuce and tomato. And I just felt like the whole thing, I was like, this might be my favorite burger. And when I had the Loretta's burger, I was like, this is good. But the meat wasn't crispy. It just was like, okay, it's cooked. And it had all the cheese and stuff. And I was like, and it was so basic that it's like, that's what makes it so good. But when you have like that burger and then you just kind of like finesse it a little bit more, I was like, dang, this is my burger.
So Smarty Pants.
Right? Smarty Pants. Yeah. Yeah, it was like something with an S. Yeah.
Have not had that burger. Definitely need to try that.
I like, maybe that burger was like super delicious and maybe we were just like super hungry, which was also true, but like we had the second burger and it was like, yep, no, this is perfect burger. So yeah, I mean, those are my three favorite burgers I think in town, like the Smarty Pants burger, which left field, did not expect it, super random, the Loretta's, because, and I just go for the basic tavern burger, like I don't want it like super gussied up. And then the Bait Shop burger, because it's such a major throwback as to like, I mean, maybe McDonald's at one time actually did taste good, but like, I just remember like the Big Mac actually tasting good. And they do like, you know, a delicious version of it. And it's very good.
That's really, no, I love having some new burgers in the mix. I feel like it's kind of the same thing over and over and over again. That's very exciting about Smarty Pants.
I was shocked.
Okay. What about a burrito / taco?
Okay. Burrito / taco. Trying to think. I mean, like, I actually really just love the neon burrito. It's really, it hits just like so well. I mean, it's definitely like something that you want more on the late night side, or like maybe you just like need like a hangover cure. But then like, I don't know, it just, because it's filled with tots, so it's kind of like a California burrito, but even worse. And so it's just like filled with tots and all the stuff, and it's just like, I don't know. That's that's my favorite burrito.
Hell yeah.
Tacos. I'm not gonna say one, so I'm trying to like think of somebody else. I feel like the birria tacos at that spot in Burien, they have a few different ones, and I've been to the one in Tacoma and Lakewood, and then I've been to the one in Burien, and they're just consistent. But those birria tacos, I haven't tried anything else, just the birria tacos and just the broth, and it's so good. I think they're my favorite birria tacos for sure.
Why would you want to try anything else once you'd had those birria
Tijuana? Like, if it's a birria, yeah, it's just like so. There was this article written by Jonathan Gold a long time ago. His love for LA and the food in LA is just, it's just incredible. But he wrote this article on birrias, and it was one of the few times that I'm like, wow, I feel very seen. I feel very, like my food feels very seen, and not like most food writers don't know how to write about POC food. And I felt like he just had so much experience and so much like depth of knowledge and just love for the food that LA had to offer. That didn't have to be just a nice spot, you know, or like a fancy place. It was just about the sort of like, you know, the food itself. And it was great to read that. I mean, then to see the sort of like emergence of birria tacos now everywhere. We ate birria as kids, but it was like not as tacos. It was more like on, or, you know, just as a, either in broth or there's two different kinds of beer. There's wet or dry. And so we ate like the dry version, which is just like in a sauce. And then you top it with some, it's like, there's a little bit of liquid, but then you just top it with some stuff and then you just eat it with tortillas. And like, so it's been great to see that happen, but that those birria tacos are very good. Very good.
All right. How about sandwiches?
Sandwiches? Wait, are we talking like cold cuts?
Wait, whatever, however you want to define that.
Oh man. Okay. I like the falafel wrap at Mom Noon to go. It's good. It's very good.
I don't think we did Mom Noon during our sandwich search.
No, we didn't.
They do a wrap, and I don't think it's on their regular menu, but you can get it from their like lunch or like the to-go window. Very good. Yeah, like the, it's like a, I don't even know if they call it a gyro, but it's like a very fancy, delicious gyro. And I like, what's really great about it, it's like, it's saucy, but then like then the bread that it's in, they make themselves and it just tastes like so fresh. I mean, it's just like the difference between, you know, like buying a packaged tortilla and like making your own. It just takes it to that next level. And yeah, very good sandwich.
No, I think that was one where we weren't thinking outside of the box enough on what a sandwich was. Whereas like also very yeah. convenient for me to go up and get it at the window during lunch while we were doing that search.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of just like another sandwich, but we already covered chicken. Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah. I mean, like lunch on Capitol Hill is pretty hard, but that's, they nail it.
What about ramen?
Oh, ramen. Okay. I've never been to Japan, so I don't have like, you know, any sort of like base knowledge for any of this, but like, I don't even know if they're still around, but there was like the ramen spot near Marination above QFC on Broadway. And like, it just felt like that was really good without it just being like, I mean, they had like the one that was like fat, which I then I'm like, well, can you taste anything? It just, everything will be so like heavy. But like I tried one of their other ramen there and I just felt like it was really good. Like, I don't like my noodles to be very cooked. Like I want them kind of like, I don't know, whatever, the sort of like more on the not cooked side. And as I'm kind of like eating my noodle or my broth, I just feel like it kind of softens. And I felt like it just, that was really tasty. And I don't know if they're like who they are. I don't know where they came from. I just felt like it was very delicious. And my brother actually turned me on to them because he's a big ramen fan. And he had been going there quite a bit. And so I went there mostly just to be like, all right, are you like smoking weed and then going to eat ramen and then like, oh, it's so delicious? Or like, is it actually tasty? But it was very, very tasty. I feel like I'm like that bad Seattleite who I don't smoke weed, but like, so he kind of covers that for me whenever he's like, you know, like this is a spot to go to if you're stoned. And so I just had to like, see if that was what he was, where he was coming from.
And that was Oink on Capitol Hill.
Yeah. Oink. I like being surprised by some spots for sure.
Which, where to go to get high and then eat it could be a good pot in its own right.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, if there was anybody who was going to, you know, talk about that, it's like my brother could nail that. We have a very funny dynamic in our family where we can go out to lunch and it'll be like 3 to 4 hours later. We're like, oh, we should probably go. But we've just been sitting around here just like lunching it up and like, as you know, our siblings and just talk about food. I mean, like we grew up with, our mom is just like such a solid cook that we just grew up eating good food and like being taught like, oh, this is what's good and this is what's not and this is what makes it not. And not like because we had these like direct conversations about it, sort of like inherent conversations we had around food. To the point where like if I go over to my mom's house and she's made something, generally she'll ask me like what it is I want to eat. And I have like sort of like my top three things. And but there have been times where she'll like make a batch of pozole and I'll taste it and I'm like, this isn't right. And she'll be like, totally feeling called out. But I'm like, what did you do? What did you do wrong? And she's like, okay, so I took a little shortcut. And I was like, I knew it. I knew it. Because it's like, you can't feed me this for like, you know, my entire life and then expect me not to like know when it doesn't, when it's not right. And our sister is like, she feels so bad. She's like, everybody knows how to cook except for me. And I'm like, but I've tasted some of her food. I was like, no, you can cook perfectly fine. It's just that the rest of us have, you know, like are just, you know, a little bit more annoying about how much better we are at cooking food than her. But like, yeah, but it's just like, we just had a lot of food conversations all the time. And so, yeah, we can, it's like, we sometimes just like the text in our text thread are just like, oh my God, I just had this thing that was like, you have to have it. Yeah. So we can wax poetic about food for a long time in our house.
That sounds great. Yeah. Our group chat is just sending around food. It's like new exciting cookies or whatever.
Yeah. Wait, is cookies one of the options for the favorite cookies?
We would be happy to hear.
I am not much of a sweets person. But I do love like a really good cake. But my kid is like, she's just a voracious eater. Like everything constantly needs snacks. So there's like now like a snack drawer. But I would say that like my favorite sort of like grocery store cookie is like the Paul Newman O's like peanut butter chocolate cookie. It's good. And it's not, I mean, it's a little sweet, but it nails. It's a little salty, chocolatey.
I think the last one that we had was dumplings.
So this is a place that I've loved for a long time. And I mean, it's an easy answer for me. It's a Szechuan Noodle Bowl. Their dumplings are so good. Actually, like they have three things that are just like nail it. They make this like beef noodle soup with like almost like an udon style noodle. And it's just like thick and like slurpy and delicious. God. And then like the beef is cooked in like, you know, this like super like, not like thick broth, but it's just like beefy. And then the beef itself is like so tender, superlative that you're like, it's unreal. You're just like, how did you do it? Actually, don't tell me. I don't want to know because I don't want to know what happened to this beef to get here to be so tender and not falling apart. It's like tender and like still a cube. I don't know. Like as a chef, I'm sometimes like, there are some mysteries I just don't want to. But yeah, and then like they have this like green onion pancake that is just like flaky. It's delicious. Yeah, it's so good. But the dumplings and everything is made there. Like there's like somebody hand rolling and cutting noodles and doing all the stuff like in the dining room, which feels very not Seattle. And I love that. And like the whole space itself is just very strange and funny, but like the dumplings are delicious. My only complaint is that they call them spicy, but they're not spicy. But the dumplings are so delicious that I'm like, yeah, so good.
Well, I think that covers the food categories we had. Thanks so much for joining us. The last question is, we're curious, who do you think we should talk to for the Pelton Cast Chef Series?
Next? Oh, man. Okay. I feel like there's always a sort of like want to like bring on or talk to like the hot new person. But like for me, I've just been really into this idea of like, or just like wanting to hear from like chefs that are still around, sort of like almost legacy chefs that are like, you know, who actually created certain things. Like I think back to the first time I had like an uni pasta uni pasta, and it was like a squid ink pasta. And it was like in 2004, and it was at Scott Carsberg's place, Lamprea. And there was nobody in there. It was like totally dead. It was so sad. And I was not 21, but I was drinking a bottle of wine with my friend I was at dinner with. But the dinner was so delicious from start to finish that I actually remember most of that entire dinner. Like I remember the kind of wine we had, and it was like, you know, everything. And Scott is probably, I mean, he had another restaurant recently, but I feel like he's so interesting. I mean, his like, what he's had some food of mine. I remember it was for like a Fair Start dinner and he ate it. And I was like, oh, that was probably the thing I hated the most of that entire meal. And he just finished it. And he was like, that was delicious. And I was like, what? Like, thank you, but I know it wasn't. And like, it was good. But then like you hear all these like, you know, sort of stories about him just being totally like wild about how intense he is about food that I was like, he's somebody that I'm just like fascinated by. And I think really, he just nailed so many, he was such an early like adopter of certain flavors that I just didn't see anywhere else. And then years later, you know, you see squid ink pasta on every menu in LA and here at one point. And so you're just like, okay, but this is like, that was the first time I encountered it. And I feel like just like his sort of depth of food knowledge and just sort of like understanding of what's good. And he's interesting. So I'm going to go with Scott Carsberg.
Well, thanks so much for taking the time. We really enjoyed having you and hearing about how things are going and your favorites in Seattle.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.